Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Hello and welcome to Perspective. I'm Beth Espy. Tonight, it's the final programme where we speak to those who were, until recently, existing members of the House of Keys and who are seeking re-election next month. I'm joined today by the most recent incumbent of a single-seat constituency who was elected for the first time in 2006, unseating the previous representative who'd been there for 20 years. He's been a member of the Departments of Home Affairs, Transport, Local Government and the Environment, and the Environment, Food and Agriculture. He's vice-chaired the Water Authority and, more recently, chaired the Isle of and Water and Sewage Authority. He is former Peel MHK, Tim Crookle. Mr. Crookle, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Beth.
OK, how much do you wish then that you hadn't been put in charge of the Water and Sewage Authority?
I was delighted when I was put in charge of the Water Authority when Mr. Brown decided to have his bit of restructuring and gave us the sewage as well. It's a challenge. We've risen to the task, and we're doing what we can, and we'll deal with it as and when we can, and to the best of our ability.
It really did drive a wedge, though, between you and your constituents, didn't it?
Not so much the constituents. Some of them, to be fair, but and that was due to, I'm sure, it was lack of information that was around at the time, but certainly drove a wedge between a great working relationship I'd had with the commissioners up until then, and yeah, it's divided, you know. What I had with the commissioners until now, basically, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there were some constituents, though, who weren't happy with the plans that were mooted. I mean, to what extent do you think that really highlights the inadequacies in our political system, the difficulty of representing those people who voted you in while also trying to do your political duties?
It's very hard. I mean, what happened there, I mean, at that stage was literally the Department of Transport at the time were about to come to the Peel and explain to them what was planned for Peel and what they were hoping to do. Somebody jumped on the bandwagon, called a public meeting, and without the public being able to get the information, there was a lot of bad information, misinformation put around. But I quite understand why people were concerned. Of course, I would be concerned if there was a chance for regional sewage treatment works within 400 metres of my property. Even if I couldn't see it, I'd be concerned. Of course I would.
On Talking Heads this afternoon, we heard from the former Russian MHK, Dr. John Orme. He's now seeking re-election himself, but he described himself as the political champion of Iris, but said he'd been warned beforehand that there were no votes in sewage and drainage. Whoever warned him was right. He didn't get back in 1991. How worried are you about the curse of Iris, if you like?
Of course I'm worried, but I mean, it's part of my job and I've been given that, and I'll deal with it to the best of my ability. I think, the curse of Iris then, when it was, I mean, I remember as a commissioner, we just joined the board and we were invited into Douglas to come and hear about this great thing that we're going to do with Iris. And I remember sitting next to one or two of the Peel commissioners saying, what a tragedy, this is going to be such a mistake, why not go regional? But no, this is the way they went, and so many people have said that to me on the doorstep since as well, recently, while I'm out canvassing, and they're delighted, saying, get on with regional, let's get it done as quickly as possible, because you know as well as I do what's going out into the Bay every day, 24/7, and it's totally unacceptable.
What's the future for the project, though? I mean, spending of £40 million was approved a few months ago for the regional sewage treatment schemes. Money, though, is going to be incredibly tight in the coming years. We've heard this time and time again. Is there enough in the pot to sort this out once and for all?
I believe there is. I think within the capital scheme, I'm sure there is. And when we get down to 5 years' time, the money will be there, I'm convinced of that, unless things go tragically wrong in the meantime. But come 2014, if not before, the Water and Sewage Authority will be reviewing, whoever's in charge will be reviewing Peel and the Central Valley and Laxey and Baldrine, and we'll find the best way forward for the west of the island and for the others, of course.
I mean, there's been the problems with regard to Iris and I suppose the results that it's produced, and especially when we think about the Marine Conservation Society's Good Beach Guide claims, which were pretty negative this year.
Great people, aren't they? It just goes to my heart. We've tried to explain them to them, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the water quality is so much better than it used to be. The results, the testing is better, but they'll come back and they'll use these figures to their own advantage just to keep making it look bad until they get perfect clarity, I presume they want. But I mean, they're never going to get that. But I mean, as well as I do, people will keep swimming in the Peel Bay, and they do everywhere else around the island that's got a good beach.
Finally, just on this subject then, I mean, you talk about the fact that they got some pretty core details wrong. I presume you've been in touch with them again this year. What's been their response to that? The problem is, I mean, this goes out nationally, doesn't it?
It does. And unfortunately, they did as they did last year. They didn't respond to us until they come back with the next report and slate the island's beaches again. So we'll just see. We have written to them and we tried to put them right, but they don't always come back to us.
OK, well, speaking to people in and around Peel, I mean, it does seem there are a number of issues of concern on a constituency level. We've talked about sewage. There's also the bypass to Oak Road, parking, housing, facilities available for children. What promises are you making to your constituents on the doorstep as you're out canvassing?
You can't make any promises except to try your hardest and work as a team. I mean, you can't get anything done on your own. You've got to work as a team. Whoever gets in, whether it's myself or any of the other four, you know, you've got to work as a team to get anything done, you know, anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's in Peel or the rest of the island. Once you become an MHK, yes, you represent the West, I represent Peel, but you've got to represent the whole of the island as well. So you've got to be a team player.
What do you think has been your main achievement for Peel?
That's very hard to say. I mean, we now have the doctor surgery, which we didn't have before. And I know for a fact that talking to Minister Tier at the time, it was, you know, it was either Kurt Michael or it was Peel. Mr. Cannon didn't get on with the minister. I get on with the minister in the department. You could read into that what you like. We've had investment into Peel within housing. The schools have had investment. We had the marina. That was planned before my time, but I certainly supported it. And as a result of that, we've seen the knock-on effects around the town. Peel is definitely the place to be. Everybody wants to be in Peel at the moment. And come the weekend, I think the last five or six weekends, there's something going on. Peel is just so vibrant at the moment. We've just got to keep that going. So keep that going, working with the third sector. We've got to get jobs into the town now. We've had the housing, we've got the people. We need to keep those in the town now and keep them working there if possible, which will help the traders, of course.
It's interesting, though, that you couldn't pinpoint a specific thing that you feel you've done, that you've really achieved for Peel. I mean, do you think you've done enough, or at least as much as people wanted you to do, especially since they voted you in, as I say, I mean, the former representative there for 20 years, they voted in new blood. I mean, they wanted you to get the best deal that you possibly could for that constituency.
Yeah, and I don't know what they wanted at the time. I said I'd work my hardest. I've certainly worked my hardest. I've put the hours in. If I'm not at work in the office, people always know, they see me out and about around the town. I'm always accessible. Peel certainly has more now than it had 5 years ago, and more than it did, you know, before that, obviously. But, yeah, I've worked hard enough, and, you know, there are things in the pipeline that'll happen in the foreseeable future. Yeah, you know, I've had something to do with that. And if I'm not here to finish that off, then hopefully whoever follows me does.
How much have you kept in touch with your voters since the election? Because I think it's fair to say that across the island, there is a feeling that some MHKs only come knocking when they want that X in the box.
Nowhere near as much as I would like to have done. As I was saying to somebody this afternoon when we were talking, I think I'm the only MHK over the last 5 years that's had three departments just about right the way through, except for a short break in the middle when we restructured for a few months. So those three departments all the way through have kept me out. You know, that's kept me very, very busy. But having said that, as soon as you get home, you've got meetings in the evenings, sometimes at the weekends. But I'm always out and about. If I'm not at the football at the weekend, I'm out, you know, watching my boys playing. I'm always out. So I try to get out and about and meet people. But it's, I mean, I haven't gone around and knocked on the doors in the last 5 years. Of course, I haven't, you know, I haven't had the time. We all say we'd like to do that, but I haven't done it. And I've had those comments, you know, sure, in the last few weeks. You know, oh, it's that time of year again. Hey, hello, 5 years older, a bit greyer, crookle. You know, you've got to accept that.
Well, let's take a look back at your 2006 manifesto then, some of the promises and issues you highlighted. One thing you said was that everyone deserved to be treated fairly, equally and justly. You said that wasn't always happening, whether as an individual or a town. What have you done about that?
I think people are treated fairer. Now, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head which context that was taken in, but I think...
It's pretty difficult if you don't remember something that you outlined as it was in your introduction, just talking about the general reasons why you wanted to be voted in as an MHK.
Yes, I just think, I picked it wrong there, but I just think it's, you know, we need to have a totally equal society. It doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, or whatever. And we have had in the past, you know, people are picked on, people are, outcasted, if you like, for where they come from or whatever they do. But I just try to make sure that everybody is treated the same, fair and equally across the board.
Under the title housing, you described that as an emotive issue. With particular reference to local authority housing, you said you'd push for some one and two bedroom units as soon as possible. What happened there?
We've certainly had the two bedroom units up on the new estate, Bluebell Close. Now, they've been a great success, and you know, I commend the commissioners and the local Dolgie at the time, who was it, pushed that on to bring those forward. You know, local authority housing is a must, and we'll have to continue to grow the way things are going. Less and less people are going to have the money to afford to buy their own in the foreseeable future, and it's something that I hope will continue to happen.
What about the system, though, the way that local authority housing is allocated? What needs to happen there?
As far as the allocation is going on, I think the allocation is fairly fair. As long as the guidelines that are put out by the department, as long as they're used and are fair across the board, you've got to be able to have a bit of leeway on it if there's an emergency situation. As far as the accommodation is concerned, I think sooner rather than later, I think the government will look at means testing on the renting side of things. And I think the way things are going, that's going to have to come in. It's only the fair way. We get the complaints all the time. You know, there's a family of four or five, and they're all working, and there's so much money going in there, and they can actually afford to. And that I'm sure is inevitable that will come in.
So that's a policy you support? You're going to tell people on the doorstep?
I would support that if that came in, yes. That will obviously be down to come. Tony Brown was dead against that, bringing in any sort of means testing. But I would support that if it came in. I think it's only fair. You know, if you can't afford, you still won't pay. But if you can afford, you'll pay that bit more. Doesn't mean you're going to be paying the ridiculous rents that are out there at the moment that some people are having to pay, unfortunately. But I think it's got to come.
You had some pretty strong thoughts in your 2006 manifesto on transports and highways, a real desire to see the heavy vehicles taken off the streets of Peel. You were a member of the Department of Transport, as we heard in the introduction. What did you do about that?
We've worked for the last 4 years in Peel, myself, the commissioners, certainly two of the commissioners. We set up a committee. We worked together with the Department of Transport, and we drew up a town traffic plan. That has come into fruition in the last probably 6 months or so. You'll have seen around the town hall, there's a bit of a one-way system coming there. Church Street is now clear during the day, which makes it easier for the vehicles to go around. We still have a bit of a problem with some of the wagons coming through, but I mean, they've got to go through. You know, that's their business. Some of them work and live in Peel. Some of them are actually stopping in Peel to buy the odd bag of chips or whatever. So they do have an effect on Peel, of course they do, but you know, they need to be going about their business. As far as the big yellow wagons are concerned, there is a time deadline on that now, and that business will be gone certainly within just under 3 years, if not hopefully a lot earlier.
I mean, things are definitely better with that one-way system that you talked about. It's been brought in from Derby Road and round, but there are still quite literally vehicles everywhere, very often parked on the curb because there's nowhere else to go. And what's the ultimate solution to Peel's parking problems?
Again, now we've just I've just signed off down at the department to have a survey done of the whole transportation area around Peel. We did it in Ramsey fairly recently, TPI survey, and that will take in all the traffic, where it's coming from, where it's going to, where it's parking during the day, where it's parking at night, and see what's needed in Peel. I mean, there's an outcry for a multi-storey car park in Peel. We actually got somebody in to look at kit form multi-storeys, and their brief was, go out and have a look around the town at the car park, see what is or isn't available, where it can be done or can't be done. And they came back and said, Fenella Beach can be done because it's flat.
Nobody wanted that.
No, absolutely not. But the brief was, go out and see where it could be done. Craig Mallon car park, it's flat, it can be done there. All the other car parks around the town, basically there's a slope on them, so it can't be done. But of course that was turned into a bit of a story, and some of the commissioners turned around and just said, oh yeah, they're going to build on, we don't want them to build on Fenella Beach or Craig Mallon. Well, they couldn't build on Craig Mallon anyway, because that belongs to the commissioners, and if they didn't want that, wouldn't be done. And nobody at this moment in time would ever desire to have a multi-story car park on Fenella Beach. So that was used against me, but that's politics.
With regard to the proposed bypass through the Ballawattleworth estate, you've said you've come out, you fully support that. How does that sit though with the residents of the estate who don't?
I do feel sorry for them, and I've said this to a few of them already that I've spoken to. I mean, since 1999, that was always deemed to go through there on the plan, on the first set of plans that Dandara had, and when Clifton Park came through with their little estate on the end of 32 properties, that link road was going to be linked right through from Ramsey to Portown Road. If there's a problem and they were never told about that when they bought the houses, then I suggest that they go back and talk to the lawyers or something. But that road was always, the commissioner supported it, and that road was always going to go through there from Ramsey Road through to Portown Road. I don't see why they seem to think there's going to be hundreds of cars using that. I can't see there being many cars using that at the moment. It'll be the Balaguer Park, Rhea Talon, Mournview, people around there that want to go through to out to Belig Bridge and then off to work in the morning. But I can't see there's been too many more people wanting to go through there.
But what people are really worried about is the fact that so many young families live on that estate and children do play out and about on the road, and people want to be able to see more of that rather than chained to the houses. And I mean, that is a concern, isn't it?
It's certainly a concern, yeah, and it's a concern around the rest of Peel too. And, you know, children are playing out in the streets in Circular Road and all the back streets and all sorts. And, you know, there's cars going through that, and those roads are a lot narrower. Even down on the promenade, down at the far end, you know, there's cars parked both sides and there's people playing down there. And there's cars zooming up and down there. There's problems all over the place. I mean, Oak Road, you know, I understand where they're coming from. They've now got the traffic calming in there. They've got the home zones in on either side. They've got a 20-mile-an-hour limit. If people are still zipping through there too fast, it's an enforcement issue and they should be reporting it to the police. But I do feel sorry for them if they have got a problem up there still.
In your 2006 manifesto, also under the heading Governmental Reform, you said there were too many local authorities and it was time Tynwald members had the courage of their conviction and acted, stop wasting people's time and money. So you wanted all Tynwald members voted in at the general election. Nice idea then. So where was your private members bill bringing that forward?
Never got around to that, but certainly I would back up the local authority reform still, and I would still go for that. It definitely needs doing. We've all got to look at, you know, tightening our belts and saving money, and the local authorities have got to do that just as much as at the moment as well.
How does that work then? If you outline something in your manifesto, people would naturally assume that that's something you're going to take forward if you were voted in.
Mm-hmm. They do. I didn't pick that up within the department, and not within the department. I just didn't pick that up at the time, and I've let it go, which is unfortunate. Yeah.
Okay, I'm also really interested in one of your highlighted statements, which is towards the end of your manifesto, when you asked, why does it take so long to get things done? Why do we have so many obstacles put in the way before we can get a decision made? Do you know the answer to that now?
Bureaucracy. There's far too much bureaucracy. And we had this at the public meeting the other night. There are rhymes and reasons why we have all this, you know, checks and balances and all sorts. And now that you're in, now that I'm inside, if you like, you know, having done 5 years in government, you understand a lot more why it's there, why things have got to be done. You've got to be accountable. It's people's money or it's people's lives you're dealing with. And it is easy to sit, even after 15 years on the commissioners, you know, you think you know an awful lot and you think, well, that's ridiculous. We shouldn't be able to do this, that or the other. And all of a sudden it's like, actually, I can see why they do that. Because if they don't do it, you know, the same public on the other side are going to start shouting, you know, well, how did that happen? Why have you spent that? Where's that money got? Whatever it may be. So there are checks and balances, but yeah, there are still, you know, there is still too much red tape about.
I mean, that really highlights the example of somebody having great intentions on the outside, criticising everything, but then getting sucked into the system once you're voted in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you don't become aware of how the system works. You know, doesn't matter how much you think you know about certainly this job, you know, until you get inside it and realise just what is involved. You just don't realise why the machine works the way it does, I suppose. But it does work probably 90% of the time the right way. But there's an awful, you know, there's that 10% that needs to be sorted. And you know, when you think of the whole picture, that 10% is a lot still that needs to be sorted out. Bureaucracy is it's a big problem. Communication is the other big problem, of course. Government does not communicate properly, readily with anybody, in my mind, and it's something we've got to get a lot better at.
I just want to very briefly touch on another issue that I mentioned was one that Peel people were concerned about, and that was to do with facilities for children. What are you promising with regard to that?
There's an awful lot to do for facilities for children at the moment. It just depends what you want to do. What's really lacking is probably an indoor facility. I've been working with the Tommy Lucas Foundation or Fund to try and get a facility up at the football club there. I've secured them an extra £60,000 towards from a private source to go towards their the funding for what they want to do up there. And we're working towards that, and hopefully we're getting there, touch wood. But that's the main thing that's missing. I mean, at the moment, throughout the summer, there's so much for the children to do, and you know, people who say, well, there's nothing to do, then I'm not saying there isn't for those sort of children, but they're obviously not into sport, music, dancing, whatever the case may be. But I don't think it's too much. It's probably the age group, sort of 14 to 18, they always go, oh, there's nothing to do, and they wander around the streets. But we've all done that in times past.
Well, let's just stay with young people. What do you think the turnout among youngsters is going to be like in Peel this time? I mean, what have you done to try and encourage that?
I've certainly spoken to them, you know, as often as I can do. I mean, I think it'll be better than last time, and I can't remember off the top of my head what the figure was last time, but I'm certainly it's going to be a lot higher this time. I believe the schools have done quite a bit more in the last 5 years to encourage children to get involved. Through Junior Timwood and other things, and I think they have a much better understanding now. Whether it's enough or not, I don't know, but I'm certainly encouraging them when I'm going around to houses. If they're not on the electoral roll, get on the electoral roll. You know, talk to me, talk to the others as well. You know, and we've got to get them involved. We're deciding on their futures, if you like, whether it be finance when they go to universities or their jobs, and they need to be talking to us. And we need to be talking to them, of course.
Talking about canvassing generally, are you using social media as a canvassing tool?
Slightly, but I mean, I don't think you can beat going out and knocking on the doors and just talking to everybody else. I mean, I'm a bit of a technophobe, and you know, it's. I even tried. shouldn't say, but doing the Manx Radio questionnaire that was sent to us, I filled it all in this morning, having been told off the other night for not having done it, and I saved it, and as you do, and I've lost it. It'll be in there somewhere, and I'll find it tonight when I get home, or my son will, but it is there somewhere, so Graham will get that shortly. But I'm a technophobe.
Let's look at issues generally then. We keep on hearing that it's going to be a really tough time in the coming years. How have you proved that you are one of the right people to steer us through that?
Through my willingness to work hard, take on anything that's been given to me. I say I've had 6 departments, and that includes twice in the infrastructure and being highways and properties. I've got a much better working knowledge now, and we've actually started doing it in all the departments. I mean, all the departments have started to make the cutbacks and the savings where they can, and I've been part and parcel of that. And I've got a much better knowledge, obviously, than I had 5 years ago. And it would be a shame to waste that now, and of course I would say that, but I mean, it would be a shame to waste that now.
What's the island got to do, though, to fill this gigantic financial hole that's been left because of this VAT arrangement?
It's not the island, it's government as such. I mean, the business side, the private sector side of it is actually doing very well still.
But there's pain that's going to be felt around the island.
There's going to be pain, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, hopefully not that much. I mean, I think we're all sort of egging it up a bit and saying there's going to be an awful lot of pain, but hopefully it won't be that much. I mean, the island is still in, you know, I think it's still in very good state. And if it wasn't for the UK taking this 75 million off us again over the next couple of years, then we'd be a lot better. But we will deal with it. And if the economy stays as it is, or, you know, doesn't dip anyway, I'm sure we'll deal with it. And we'll find the savings within the departments, within government. Everybody out there wants to do it. You know, none of us want to see anybody being laid off. That's the last thing we want to see. And if we can do that with voluntary redundancies and people retiring, and, you know, then so be it. I'm sure we can do it, you know, with as little as pain as possible, but there will be pain, there's no doubt about that.
It's a bit optimistic, isn't it, though, to say that there won't be redundancies. You can't reach that amount of money without...
No, you're right. I don't think we can, but, I mean, you know, the fewer the better, without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm sure we can do it, you know, hopefully as painlessly as possible.
Not always the popular policies, but what's your stance on things like universal benefits and taxation, raising them?
I think what the system we've got at the moment is good, and if we can keep it as it is, I think, you know, consistency and stay as we are, the better. You know, people are happy, people know what we've got, and if we stay as we are, we've got the benchmark and we know what we need to do. If we start messing around with taxes now, I think, you know, we're not sure how the businesses will react to that, and might be to a... we'll regret it anyway, I think, if we start messing around with the taxes too much.
How important is our relationship with the United Kingdom?
It's very important. I mean, as much as of a kicking they're giving us at the moment, and you can understand why they're doing it. It's an agreement between the two countries over the revenue sharing agreement. They're in a lot of trouble, and you can understand why they're doing it. None of us like it. Of course we don't. I believe we've done quite well out of it over the years, and we've had more than our fair share, and I think we're still getting our fair share, as Minister Crane said the other day. You know, we're still getting more than our fair share, and we need to make sure we can get that, you know, we can keep that going for as long as possible. But we need to do the checks and the balances behind the scene to make sure that as and when we get to a certain point, you know, we say, right, guys, you know, we need to look at what we're doing here.
Is abrogation ever going to be an option?
Well, it's always an option. I mean, it's more of an option now because we've got more money than we're going to have in the future, I suppose. But, I mean, it's not viable at the moment, but I think it's an option in the future. It sounds quite nice when you talk about it, being totally independent and going on our own. You know, I think we'd all like to do it if we could afford it, but it's being able to afford it and doing it at the right time. We've got to be sensible about this.
Okay, just another couple of issues. Generally, do you think the Chief Minister should be popularly elected?
No.
Why?
I think the system we've got at the moment works very well. I think popularly elected is very awkward. And I'm trying hard not to use an example here, but if you had somebody who was publicly elected by the people, he or she has then got to get a council minister to work with them. What do you do if they can't? If nobody will work with them, where do you go from there? If somebody can come up with a system that's going to work, then fine. But I mean, as far as I can say, what we've got has worked for the last 25 years. You've only got to see where we are to see what's happened. And, you know, that system has basically worked. It needs nipping and tucking without a doubt in places. But I mean, what we've got has worked, you know. I think it was John Shimon said fairly recently, you know, we need to be concentrating on the major things at the moment, the finance, the economy and all sorts, rather than sort of looking at, yeah, they're important, of course they're important, but, you know, there's a time and a place, and now probably isn't the time to be looking at those.
Have you got any ministerial aspirations?
Not so much aspirations. I mean, I'm more than happy where I've been for the last 2.5 years as chairman of the Water and Sewage Authority. But if I was asked to do it, the same as when I first came in, I said I would do, within reason, anything I was asked to do. You know, if I was asked to do it, I would certainly consider it.
Would you contribute to your own pension?
Absolutely. I seconded Bill Mullarky's motion, and I'm more than happy to do that. I wasn't aware when I got this job that we didn't contribute, and I think it's only right. And if we expect people's pension to go up and, you know, contribute a bit more, then we should be leading the way.
And do you still think the Isle of Man should be a Red Squirrel Reserve?
thanks, Beth. I'm not saying it should be. We've looked at it and it could be. If it needed to be, it could be.
Well, that's all we have time for on this programme. Tim Crookall, standing for election in Peel, thank you for joining us tonight. If you'd like more information about the election, the candidates and the constituencies, you can visit our dedicated website. It's election.manxradio.com. Until next time, goodbye.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.